Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, your home for mindset, habits, and motivation for entrepreneurs, athletes, and high achievers. This show is dedicated to helping you overcome fear, failure, and adversity, and maximize your true potential. Get the latest tips, strategies, and biohacks to master your mindset, improve your habits, and create unstoppable motivation so you can become the strongest version of yourself. Get ready to crush your goals and improve your personal and professional life on every level. Here's your host, mindset coach, author, and entrepreneur, Danny Cole.
What's up, Stronger Nation? And welcome back to another episode of Stronger Than Failure, your home for mindset, motivation, and entrepreneurship. I am your host, Danny Cole. And as always, guys, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the family. I love you and I appreciate you. And because of that, I'm going to bring you great content every single show. And that's exactly what you're going to get here today. But a quick reminder, if you like this show, any show we've done in the past, make sure you tell everybody about us because everyone's got a story and everyone is stronger than failure. Plus, if you like this show, missed a show, you want to catch up on one or replay one, you can go on Spotify, any platform out there, and pull up Stronger Than Failure. You have everything there. Or go straight to the source. Go to StrongerThanFailure.com. Click on podcast. You have the entire archive at your fingertips. Plus, remember, you got the Stronger Than Failure Mindset Coaching. So if you're an entrepreneur or a high achiever and you're looking to overcome your past, create more happiness, and become the best version of yourself, reach out and we'll talk about it and see what I can do for you and make it happen. All right, guys, get ready for an incredible show today. If you like entrepreneurship, if you like making money, and you like hearing underdog stories, you are going to love our show. Our guest today is a real estate agent, sales manager for the Tempstat Realty Group in Metro Atlanta. He's an investor, a budding entrepreneur, and military officer, Greg Heller. Like many, the road he took to get to where he is was not a straight line. In fact, it is a place he admits he never thought he would be. Like many others, he grew up with divorced parents, an abusive alcoholic father, and a low-income household, was considered a failure in high school, and had extreme low self-esteem for much of his young life. He struggled with weight issues, relationship issues, and self-esteem. It wasn't until he had made the conscious decision to not allow external forces to determine his future and behaviors that he would make the changes needed to grow. He now holds 3 master degrees and is a 15-year veteran of the United States Army, and in his most recent role was the commander of an airborne civil affairs company in the U.S. Army Reserves. Dude, that is a crazy, amazing bio, dude. So I'm excited about you being on the show. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Greg.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Like, dude, that's like that right there is just a lot. I'm like, we can go anywhere and stay on any topic for a long time. But so I'll tell you what, go and give our listeners, man, a little more background about who you are, because everyone, like most of the people that come on the show have got an underdog story, because a lot of people, like we talk about on the show, they think, oh, when people are successful, it was kind of given in their laps, right? It was just there and they've always had life easy. So
right.
I love it when people hear these kind of stories, man. So let everybody know.
No, and I mean, it's funny that you say that because it's one of those things. A lot of people think that, but then those of us that are in that world, you know, that, hey, we've come to success, or, you know, if we've got mastermind groups or anybody that you coach and everybody you meet, everybody's got that story. You know, everybody's been there. Everybody's got that, you know, that story. And nobody thinks they're special for it though either.
Yeah.
But everybody is so unique. And that's what I love about, my job and what I found, you know, whether it's in real estate or whether it's in the military specific type stuff, is everyone's got a cool story. Yeah, I think back to your question, I was like, tell me a little bit more. Like, I'm just a guy, you know, whether I've got a huge success or not, I'm always just a guy. And so I have to remember that throughout, whether I become successful with whatever I do or whatever I'm trying. If I fail at something, if I succeed at something, you have to remember where you come from.
Dude, that's huge, because, you know, and the thing is, most everyone we've had on the show, that's a unique quality that everyone's got, is being humble, right? Because the people who have come from, so to speak, nothing, like, you know, like I have very poor, like a lot of most people know my background to where I'm at now. It's like, okay, because, you know, things can be taken away. Like everything's a gift. Every day is a gift. So what we have now can be taken away tomorrow. So enjoy it. Be grateful for what you have, you know, because every day is a blessing. And the more humble you are, the more you're grateful for what you have, the more you're going to be given.
I thought about that on the way over here because I was thinking about, like, stronger than failure, right? Like, what does that mean? What does it mean to be at the rock bottom, right? And one of my best friends from high school, he always said, you know, as long as you're on rock bottom, at least you got somewhere. Like, you're literally on the bottom. The only place you can go is up, because at least you have a firm grounding to jump.
Absolutely, and that's always true. Like Les Brown always says, man, if you get knocked down, at least be looking up, because you know you can always get up, period.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you're still breathing, there's no reason to give up. And believe me, like I mean, Danny, we've known each other just a little bit, but everybody has been to that low point. And some people have lower points that they feel in their lives, but everybody's got that low point in their life. So we've all been there. We've all reached the bottom at some point. And a lot of us that get to a point of that, you almost have to experience that in order to push through it. I listen to a lot of Ryan Stuman. I listen to, you know, a lot of guys like that who, you know, the struggle in their life, you know, everybody has that moment at which a switch has to be flipped, you know, whether it's really bad or whatever. Don't ever compare yourself to anybody else's failure or their hard spot, because it's whatever matters to you. I know for me, like, divorce was a huge thing for me. I was married for almost 10 years. And as good of a person as I was or am, or, you know, everything like that, like all those successes to me before that never really mattered. Mm-hmm. Or you look at it in perspective and you say, well, if I was so good, then why couldn't I do this? And it's not about that, but that was a turning point. That was another turning point for me to say, you've got to do better. You've got to push. You've got to do, you know, these other things. Just a myriad of different examples.
No, you're good. And another thing I was gonna say is, so like, again, I've been through divorce as well, like, and it's it does take a toll, especially like, mine wasn't 10 years as what you've got put in, so that's a lot to put in. Yeah. So how did you handle it? Because a lot, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs go through that. A lot of people put in a lot of time devoted to their business where their relationship actually, you know, is sacrificed for it, and they go the separate way. So how did you deal with that?
Honestly, it's the most recent struggle that I've had. I mean, it only happened about 3 years ago. Dealing with it is just that. It's realizing that, like, you have to keep going. Mine, for me, is I've got two beautiful children. One of them is here in studio with me tonight.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She wanted to see daddy on the radio and stuff like that. And so they really, that is my purpose, right? Is after my divorce, it was realizing that I wasn't defined by my marriage. I was defined by who I was for my children, you know. And even then, people might counter that and be like, well, you got to be there for you and stuff like that. It's like, that's all cool. I can be there for me. But for me right now in my place, everything I do is about my kids.
Yep. And again, everything's about perspective. You can look at any situation and look at it from, honestly, man, 1,000 different viewpoints. You can, like me and Dura was talking about before the show, he's like, it's like the, I've read it a while back. I'm sure you've read it as well or seen it as well. You know, it's about the alcoholic father's got two sons, and the one son turned into an alcoholic, yep, horrible life, yep, didn't have anything. And he's like, why are you this way? Well, because my dad was an alcoholic.
Right.
Then you got the other son, very successful, great family, great home, great everything. And like, so how come you're like this? He said, well, because my dad was an alcoholic. So it's just the way you look at things. You can be either a victim or you can be a victor. Depends on, you know, your mindset.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you look at that and you can look at people, I mean, in the same families, you know, same families would be like, well, how did you succeed? What did you do? It's like, I lived my life. I mean, that is literally what it is. Yeah. Go and live your life. Don't let, you know, Stuman talks about it. And it's just, you know, the force of average, right? Like, the force of average comes to punch you in the face every day, and you got to get up and make the conscious decision and choice to not let it do that. Mm-hmm. Things are going to pull you down, and all you got to say is, I'm the only one in control of where I go.
That's it. Talking about, you know, you can have the same family with different people go different directions. We had a guy on our show the other week, and like his brother, I think he said his brother died from an overdose. He was the only one of his family that got out. Like, he's multi millionaire, like, successful business. Everything, it was crazy. Like you said, same family. It's just, what do you want to do with it?
Right.
So kind of with that being said, I want to go back to like that first, when that switch first flipped for you when you were younger. Yeah. You're like, so how did, like, what led up to that point? Like, what kind of went through you? Because I know you were younger at the time frame. So, yeah, like, made those wheels turn for you in the right direction?
So it's funny. You know, I've told this story a couple, you know, I've told the story a lot, you know, because like one, this used to be a great story to pick up chicks with. Not gonna lie. Because I was like, oh my God, how'd you lose so much weight? Because that was a big problem. I graduated high school and I was 300 pounds.
Oh man.
So my self-esteem was like shot. You know, all I ever wanted was people to be nice. I just wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved. You know, I love my father. I love my mother and things like that. But growing up, you have this resentment towards them. And you have to learn how not to resent them later on in life because you realize like, what's it going to do, right? So I'm in high school. I graduated high school with a 1.2 GPA.
Wow.
Wasn't sure if it was possible.
So but you got your name right.
Yeah, pretty much. Got the name right. 1.2 GPA. I had like 72 people in my graduating class and stuff like that. Didn't have many prospects. The funny part about it was is that like I think the turning point really was I remember one summer I was working at Dairy Queen at the mall, Oakwood Mall in Eau Claire. Shout out if anybody's over in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And I remember like I was in some dumb fight with friends or something like that. And this best friends of mine or whatever came to work and was just like, you have no friends anymore. Like, we're not your friends. And I was just like, what did I do? You know? And I was like, you know, I don't need this. I don't need this crap, you know? Mm. And that summer, you know, you take a look at yourself and you're like, man, I'm working at a Dairy Queen and in Eau Claire, and no, everybody who lives here just stays here, and everybody, you know, the hometown stuff. I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I think it was that summer that I was just like, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, I don't want this. I don't want to work at Quick Trip the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, no offense to anybody who works at Quick Trip for the whole life, but like, that wasn't what I wanted. I sucked in school, or so I thought, right? I didn't know how to get out though. So you're like, all right, I need to get out of here. Well, how do you get out? In my town, how you got out? You went to college. Nobody in my family had ever gone to college. Mm. You know, I'm the first person, not like my cousins and stuff like that, but like my family. My dad dropped out of high school, the same high school I went to.
Really?
Dropped out of high school. Oh yeah. I grew up in the house my dad grew up in. So I'm in high school, whatever. I decide I want to get out. My grades are, you know, not where they would need to be for high school and stuff like that. And so where I decide to go to college, of course, me wanting to, you know, be accepted, I chose to apply to the one place the girl I liked was going to.
Of course, you got a follower.
And that was it. I applied to like two private schools. And of course, you get into private school because they just want your money. Mm. And then the one school I applied to, I got in.
Hey, it's meant to be then.
And I'll preface this. It took 2 years of me busting my ass to get into that school. And I didn't even think about going into it. I had made this conscious decision. All right, I'm gonna do really well in school. So I was going into my junior year. And when you look back at it, you're like, well, that was actually sooner than most. Like, a lot of people make these life changes. Like if you're in your 40s and you want to change, I mean, Gary Vee would be like, you got time, man. You know, like... And you do, but I did it at least a good enough time where I could make a shift. And I made this conscious decision, and I didn't know how to do anything, but I was like, well, if my grades suck, I can't get into college. If I can't get into college, I'm going to stay in town. If I stay in town, I'm going to end up just being a townie. I need to get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my freshman year science teacher, I was like, Mr. Lenz, can I take AP bio? And he's like, Greg, you know, this is like the hardest science class we have at the school. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do fine. And I had no idea what I was doing. Well, it turned out I was good at science. And so I couldn't get into AP bio, but I took anatomy and physiology, found out I was good at science and things like that. And he was like, well, you did really well. It was the first A I had ever gotten. And it was that little boost, right? It's like when the kid does really well and they finally see it.
So one sec. So you said that was the first A you've ever gotten?
It was the first A I'd ever gotten.
In AP?
That I remember. It was in anatomy and physiology was actually the class for.
Gosh, that's awesome, man.
So, well, it was like high school. Like fast forward 15 years or so, I'm actually a high school teacher, you know, later on down the road. And so I look at it and I'm like, you literally had to show up, have a pulse and turn in your homework to get an A. So, like, had I known those types of things, I probably would be a rocket scientist right now. But I get there, and I, at the time, I'm like, well, what should I do with my life? And there was an opportunity back then, nursing, not like it is now, where there's such a huge shortage. We had an overage of nursing students. There was a 2-year wait list back then to get on into the nursing schools. And the science teacher came to me with an opportunity and said, hey, do you want to go to this thing called the Health Academy? I'm like, what is it? And it was literally a, you go to your senior year, you're going to go to nursing classes, you're going to become a CNA and an LPN and all this other stuff, and you get fast tracked, you get put on the front end of the wait list. And it's like, okay, all right, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Community college was college to me back then, right? Like it was, and it still is.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, well, it's better than nothing. So I was like, oh, I'm going to be a nurse. And I went to nursing school my senior year of high school. I got into the program. I didn't get in at first, got in after some delays and stuff like that. Got in and I was like, oh, I'm going to nursing school. This is awesome. And then fast forward kind of midway through my senior year. And this girl, of course, is, you know, like, I'm like, where are you going? She's like, well, I'm going to North Dakota State University. I'm like, where the heck is North Dakota State University?
Because I'm going to have to go there.
So she's like, it's in Fargo. And in my head, I'm like, Wells Fargo. Like in my head, Wells Fargo wagon.
Yeah.
And I legit am thinking like country horseback riding type stuff. You know, we're in Wisconsin. And so I apply and I got in. And I got in under a conditional acceptance. They only were going to allow me to take 13 credits my first semester. And that basically told me, I don't believe you can do this. Hmm. And that was, I think that in my conscious mind, that's the first time I go, all right, bet.
Game on. I like it.
And now I'm sitting here, you know, that was the first time. And then I went out of college three other times after that.
Dude, that's amazing, man. So yeah, so what I love as far as how young you were when it switched for you, right? I love that right there. And then you changed everything from a 1.4 to going into, you know, as far as college, going into the nursing school, and now where you're at now. So I love all that motivation. So now fast forward a little bit to, like, let's say, going into real estate now.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the investments or was it real estate or entrepreneurship? Like, which ones did you go into first? Because you've done a lot other than military, because you're there 15 years, that's a long time.
So the funny thing is like real estate is actually the newest career that I've had. I've actually, my career over the last, before I hit real estate full time, I was an educator. So the irony behind my entire life is I became an educator. And it was from going to college, actually. It was a mentor that I met in school. Newsflash, I did not become a nurse. Like, I got into nursing school at North Dakota State University. I showed up to orientation. I was like, I don't want to be a nurse. Like, that was just an option that I had. And so in high school, I was the newspaper editor. So I was like, I want to be a journalist. I'm gonna go and do this stuff. And so I changed my degree to management communication. Well, it was mass communication. And then they changed, like, they took that away, like, the first semester I was there. So I was a management communication major. Had zero idea of what the hell any of that meant. You know, but I did it because I was still just doing, again, didn't know what I wanted to do. Just didn't want to be home. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to be a failure. And, you know, you get fed these lines of, as long as you have a degree, you're going to be successful and all this stuff. You find out you got to make your own successes with that stuff. So I did that, right? I ran a radio station when I was 19 years old.
Well, welcome home.
Yeah, right. I was a program director for 105.9 KNDS Thunder Radio up in Fargo, North Dakota. Did that for about 2 years. Just did news radio programming and stuff like that. But anyway, so you know, I got all that, and what I had realized is that I wanted to help people like myself. I wanted to help youth who were struggling with stuff. Because of course, that's all you know at the time, right? As we grow, we learn what our purpose is more. You know, now my purpose is my children and making sure they're set up and successful and things like that. At the time, it was, what's my purpose? My purpose is to make sure that people don't go down the wrong road. And I had met a mentor of mine, still is a very good friend of mine to this day. I talked to him about, you know, a lot of things. Now it's a lot less than it used to be, but his name was Steve Winfrey. He's actually the current director of the Memorial Union at Iowa State. And he was the first one that believed in me that I saw, right? It was that first shot of like, hey, this adult is seeing something in me. And I went, there's a job in that? And so I pursued that. And through college, I was working my way, and I wanted to work in student affairs and higher education. And so I did, and I had that, there's this road of what I did through some master's degrees and some life things and things like that. But I have been I recruited for colleges for a while. You know, I wanted to be an admissions advisor and a counselor. So I did some recruitment for schools. Then I slipped out of education for a little bit, and I ran Target stores when I was in my early 20s, locking in the golden handcuffs, running. I ran the number one consumables department in the entire company of Target when I was 23 years old.
Dang, man. That's impressive in itself.
T2313, Edina, Minnesota.
Ooh, Riley. Remember, it's back of your hand.
But I found that I didn't, you know, there was no passion in it. At the time, I could care less about business. I didn't care if I could raise water sales by 14% just by dropping a pallet by the front door. Like, I was 23. I didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, I was still trying to find my purpose and stuff like that. But I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot about business running a multi-million dollar, you know, store. And then I moved. I knew I wanted to get back in education, helping people out. So I got picked up. I was in the military still. And I didn't even talk about the fact that prior to all this stuff, I had been deployed and I was in Kosovo as a peacekeeper and stuff like that for a while. 22-year-old kid, you know, platoon leader, running around being a peacekeeper in Kosovo 10 years after mass genocide.
Dude, it sounds like once you flip that switch back in what sophomore year, bro, baby. It's been on. It's like you've got an interesting life and you've got a lot going on throughout all of it, and you excel in everything, dude. That's great, man.
It doesn't matter. So one of my mentors once told me, have you ever been on a boat? You know what tacking is on like yachts, stuff like that. For those that are listening, if you don't know what tacking is, it's basically moving the ship left and right. And it's meant to control where you're going because the tides change, the waves change, the wind changes. Mm-hmm. So from the ground level, it looks like you are changing course all the time, or that you're struggling, or you're trying to keep it going. From 20,000 feet in the air in the big picture, that boat's going in one direction. And it's going from point A to point B. And so I was told that very early on in my career with stuff. And so I was never afraid of the change, right? Now, I'll fully admit, you get into a marriage and a relationship. I did not do a great job of painting that picture with my spouse. Mm. You know, we struggled for a really long time about what my purpose was and, you know, what our life together would be. And it just turned that we weren't on the same page with stuff. And so for a long time, my entrepreneurial spirit, I felt, was kind of dampened and put down. And so I only recently got to kind of butt out into this, like, I'm going to do it. There's some risk involved with this, but let's roll.
Yeah. So now the investments, were they before real estate or after? Because you said real estate was one of the...
My first investment was actually was when I was married, and I had no idea I was even going to get into investing with stuff.
Okay.
And that was, I was just like, babe, let's buy a cabin. This was when Airbnb was just kind of becoming popular a couple years back. It had been around for a couple years already, but it had not taken over in the regards of like, hey, can you not necessarily make money, but like, can you capitalize on something that's out there as an opportunity, right? And for me, it was, let's get a place so we can go on vacation. Mm. And so we picked a place. It was 2 hours from the house. It's up in the North Georgia Mountains. I still own it. I still run it. And it never was meant to be an investment. It was meant, I just did some research on it. And I was just like, oh, this Airbnb thing looks like, hey, if we rent it out 3 weekends a month, it'll pay our mortgage. We didn't have a lot of money, but we could do it. And it was literally just one of those, like, just roll the dice, throw it and see what happens with it. And I've been fortunate that it's all worked out, you know, knock on wood, that everything works out well. Pandemic, I actually had my best year ever. Long story short, had some folks from Australia get stuck there.
Oh.
And they asked me, like, can we book this for 6 months? Yes, you can.
You sure can?
Yes, you can. So that worked out. And then, you know, this last, just bought another property, actually from a mutual friend of ours. And I bought a quadplex down on the Grange, started learning more about that type of stuff. Now I'm looking at, I've really gotten into the multifamily world. I really enjoy that. Maybe pulling myself out of the Airbnb space, just because, you know, we dabble in a lot of things. You have to focus in. You have to be able to choose, like, what are you good at? I like Airbnb. I think for a lot of people, there's some great people that I know in some mastermind groups that just make a killing on it. Or if you're into the arbitrage world, like, if you can focus in on those things, you can crush it. For me, I am far too distracted for that type of stuff. Like, I get annoyed when, like, my phone dings and I'm like, oh, I got to send somebody a welcome packet for my cabin now. Because now it's more of a business for me. Like, that one is more of a business for me.
Yeah.
I really like going in and talking to my property manager once a month and being like, you got my rent checks? Any issues? Nope. Sweet.
Now, do you prefer multifamily over just like single residences? And what would be the reason why?
Yeah, the reason I prefer multifamily is because of my situation. If you are thinking about investing, if you're thinking about all that stuff, you have to think about your situation. And so for me, I'm in real estate, right? I don't have a W-2. My income is derived off of how much I hustle. But I also don't have like in mortgage lending, you can't get certain types of loans, right? So I had to find lenders that would, you know, what programs are going to work. And I found that in multifamily properties, if the rent is, the loan will use the rent as your income source. Mm-hmm. And so as long as you got the down payment on, you save up your money to do it, it is easy as can be. You just got to find it. You got to find the deal, make the numbers work. And for me, it's just finding that deal.
All right. So quick question, for the listeners that are out there, because a lot of them are, you know, they're entrepreneurs. They don't have that W-2 for getting the loan. Now, how much of it, like if a down payment, was it the 20% that you got to have? Is that the type of loan or is it something different?
Yeah,
it's
going to depend. So like the bank that I use or that I did use, and there's a couple out there. There's, you know, everybody's a little bit different. It's generally going to be about 20 to 25%. It's okay. Like the first deal, it was supposed to be 25%. I got lucky because somebody misspoke and I ended up getting it for 20%.
Nice.
But that was like a, hey, we misspoke. We're going to give it to you so we can close this up. So I got lucky on that one. But then what I was told by this loan officer was, you know, as you do more deals, the bank's going to get a little bit more lenient with you because you've got more assets with them.
Gotcha.
So I don't want to say lucky because it's not luck, it's work, right? But you get fortunate to start learning these things, and it all comes from just like sticking your finger in the light socket and figuring it out.
Yeah.
You know, don't
be taking action.
Yeah, don't be afraid to fail at it, because what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, in this case, you could lose some money on it, or you just lose the deal. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, I still got my money.
Yeah. And that's the thing, this is what I tell everybody. Like, the only way you can fail, in my eyes, this is my definition of, the only way you can fail is if you don't learn from something or you don't give it your all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you learn from something, even if it did not go the way you wanted, it did not, you know, the business did not, you know, it went bankrupt. Did you learn from it? Okay, it wasn't a failure. Nope. Now you're moving on with that knowledge and that wisdom to a better place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, so with the, let's say you got the quadplex. So is there a lot to deal with the tenants? Is there a lot of headaches going on with that?
No.
Really?
Hire a property manager. Just let it roll.
Really?
When you find a good property manager, I mean, they're the ones who are responsible for the 3 a.m. calls and all this stuff. I give them my policies on, all right, if there's a problem that costs X amount of dollars, all right, I want to know about it. But if it's under this amount, just take care of it.
Gotcha.
Because that's passive income for me. That's just, I don't have to worry about it. And then, you know, the little girl sitting out there in the studio waiting for me, like, that's actually her house. Mm. Like, that is going to be her property, and it is all meant to give her that leg up that I didn't have, right? Now, I'm going to teach her about how to continue that, you know, that stuff, but
that's it. Now, that's awesome that you're doing that. So, are you already talking with her as far as, like, entrepreneurship and investments and properties?
That's so funny. I mean, she's 8, so, like, I'm a nerd about it with her, but there's things like she'll get, like, Dad, I got $150 in gift cards for my birthday type thing. We'll count all this stuff up and be like, well, I'm going to teach you how to double that, you know, or we'll be like really, you know, I want her to live a kid life.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, well, why don't you take 50% of that and you can spend it on whatever you want. And then why don't we take the other 50% about it and we'll talk about other things, whether it's saving, you know, just learning to save, or if it's like, hey, let's put it into, you know, something else. Yeah. Right.
So is she on board with doing all that, or is she a kid where she's like, nah,
she
Dad,
loves
I
want- it. She loves it. My youngest one could care less. My 6-year-old is just like, these aren't shoes or candy. Like, I'm not, you know, unless I could teach her about like flipping shoes.
Yeah.
You know, then, all right, we might be able to go with something like that.
She's like, all right, Dad, you know what? You're on something. We can flip these shoes here. So you said I can get 2 for the price of 1.
Yeah,
done.
Right. Right.
I love it. Now, as far as, so where do you see things going? One thing I know, I do, time is running down. You purchased one business, or you're in the process of. Can you talk about that now or no?
I'll just say my hopeful, right? So, okay. Like right now I'm pursuing, and hopefully it'll go through. I had an opportunity. I met a client and they were telling me that they've got a business and they literally just want out of it. It's not anything that's wrong with it. I'm looking over the P&Ls and stuff like that right now with it. And it's one of those opportunity things. When opportunity knocks, just take it. And if it works out, why are you not doing it, right? And so I'm buying a tanning salon that has been around for 15 years in a Kroger, you know, shopping center that is essentially, we looked at everything, right? We looked at the property, we looked at the anchor tenant, we looked at, you know, the operation, we looked at, you know, all this stuff. And it's just like, it just works. Do I tan? No. I am a Nordic man.
I tend. Actually, it's funny thing is when I talked about this, I know the owner there, she was asked going to be on the radio show a while back, but COVID and everything just didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I knew her because I used to go there and go tanning. So I might be a client.
Yeah. So I am in the hopes that will happen. Buying that one. And then I'm currently starting an insurance company to do some wraparound services. I am working with some people on some mortgage business investment opportunities. Just stuff like that. Expanding out. I've got a deployment coming up next year, pseudo deployment. I'll be working down in Florida. So I'm getting my insurance license in Florida. I'm getting my real estate license in Florida because you have to hustle, you know?
Dude, that's one thing. That's why I want to bring this up. It's what I like about hearing your story is once you flip that switch and everyone's got that moment in their life, you know, when things flip, they're like, okay, I'm going all in. Once everything changed for you, your life completely changed, you know, health-wise, confidence-wise, being in business. And one thing that I want our listeners to take note of is that no matter what, he's always taking action. He's not stalling out, okay, hitting a plateau, I'm just going to stay here. It's okay, and it's talking to other people, what opportunities they have. If you pay attention to the signs that's out there. Opportunity is always out there. You just got to be willing to take a chance. And remember, there's always different ways to look at situations. If it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean you're a failure. You're only a failure if you did not learn from it or you did not grow. As long as you learn and you grow from it and you can push forward, you can take that knowledge and improve your life, your family's life, and everyone's around you. So, dude, I've loved your
choosing,
show, man.
Choosing to stop when it gets hard is the worst thing you can do on it. Because you're gonna hit a plateau. You're going to hit, like, I will fully admit, it's been a rough, like, I haven't been able to sleep for like 2 weeks, you know, stuff like that. Like my morning gym routine, stuff like that. Like I know where I've got to push myself. But if you can realize that stuff and you push for it, it's not a failure. Mm-hmm. Your choice to stop is when you fail.
That's it. And everything's a choice. It's like anybody can give up when it's hard.
Yeah.
Anybody can do that. If you keep pushing forward, though, you're going to be successful. That's what the key is, consistency. That's why you've been so successful. Yeah. You've been consistent in everything that you're doing. So, dude, I want to have you on later on because we're pretty much out of time now. I want to have you later on because there's so much more to your story you got to tell. Plus, there's more that you're going to be doing. So I can't wait to have you back on, Greg.
Absolutely. Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the family. And remember, you are stronger than failure.
Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, your home for mindset, habits, and motivation for entrepreneurs, athletes, and high achievers. This show is dedicated to helping you overcome fear, failure, and adversity and maximize your true potential. Get the latest tips, strategies, and biohacks to master your mindset, improve your habits, and create unstoppable motivation so you can become the strongest version of yourself. Get ready to crush your goals and improve your personal and professional life on every level. Here's your host, mindset coach, author, and entrepreneur, Danny Cole.
Transform your mind, transform your body, and lose yourself with the most revolutionary and professional training system in fitness. If you've tried training in the past and failed, we will help you succeed with our proven results. Our optimal performance training covers stabilization, core conditioning, and maximum strength conditioning. Get started by calling 1-800-430-1423. That's 1-800-430-1423. Embodiment Fitness. We don't work out, we train. Lose yourself.